So I'd invite you to turn with me to that section of Luke in chapter 13 where I spoke of the healing of this woman who was, as the scripture says, more accurately, the Revised Standard Version actually gets it correct. And it says a spirit of affliction in the Greek. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. It says in chapter 13, beginning in the 10th verse. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord, now do you notice that Luke is not calling him Jesus here. It doesn't say Jesus answered him. Luke here calls him the Lord. That's significant. That's the word that's used for God, the Almighty God in the Old Testament. And as it was translated into the Greek, as the New Testament is written in the Greek, it's the word that also is used for God. So here Luke is identifying in this one word, Jesus, as God. The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humility. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Here ends the reading of the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, happy day when Jesus saw our sins took away. Charlie Kirk could be seen by some, I suppose, as a provocateur. Someone who simply wants to get a rise out of people for the sake of it, or for the sake of a political ideology. But, you know, Jesus was seen as a provocateur in his day. Kirk was killed by a person who despised what he said. Jesus was killed by the governmental and religious authorities. We saw it there in the preview to the Chosen episode that's coming. By the governmental and religious authorities who all despised what Jesus said and did. In this case, what he did and then said in a synagogue one Sabbath day, as in that 10th verse that begins it, as he was teaching. That was the first thing that Luke records. He was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath one day. And the leader of the synagogue, many others in authority, saw him as exactly that, a provocateur, one who is a threat to their authority. It's interesting to note that the synagogue lay leader, and that's who the leader of synagogues would be, a lay person in the structure of things. This synagogue lay leader doesn't talk to Jesus, does he? He's talking to the people who were there assembled, who had come to listen to what Jesus' teaching was, and then had, as a result of being there in the synagogue, in the church of the day, if you will, then witnessed what Jesus did to this woman bent over with the burden. I mean, so totally 18 long years, can you imagine? I mean, some of us are pretty bent over too, aren't we? I know it's hurting me more and more. One of the stupidest things I ever did was fall asleep up in a tree stand. My dad said, "You're going to regret that one day." And boy, is he ever right. But in this case, you know, this woman, it's recorded in the scripture, was afflicted with a spirit. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means. Some have said directly it's a spirit, literally. Some have said also it was, as the Greek puts it, a spirit of infirmity, that it may have been that she had a psychological burden to deal with that bent her literally over. You know, that can happen to people, that the manifestation of their psychological conditions can, what's burdening them psychologically, perhaps abuse as a young girl or into her adulthood had become manifested so severely that she was literally bent over and burdened. And Jesus saw, whatever the case is, Jesus saw her affliction, her infirmity. And notice that it wasn't she who went to Jesus for healing. No, Jesus, as he was teaching, saw her and stopped and reached out to her. As the scripture says here, seeing her bent over, unable to straighten up, Jesus saw her and called her forward and set her free, putting his hands upon her. His own hands upon her. And she immediately straightened up. The guy who was the leader of the synagogue, he was trying to put back in the box, "These are 6 days for work. There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not the Sabbath." But Jesus, by that simple, to him at least, but profoundly compassionate and merciful act of healing, Jesus releases this woman from a bondage that for 18 long years she was trapped in and bent over from, and showed her that, as Mark says, chapter 7, verse 27, Jesus in another instance says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Charlie Kirk spent his life pointing to Jesus. I read he gave his life to Christ when he was in fifth grade. In an interview on September 7th, only I think it was 3 days before he was killed. He said, I want to point people, particularly young people, toward ultimate purposes and toward getting back to the church, getting back to faith, getting married, and having children. When asked by a young man once what he should do with his life, he said, read the Bible every day. Don't sleep with every woman you can, but find one, love her, and be faithful to her, and have a family. Boy, that's advice for today, don't you think? I mean, too many young people, for one thing, have no purpose in living. They're spending all their time, it seems like this young man who shot him was, in the basement playing various video games. And also sleeping with every woman they can. You know, that's not the way of Jesus' teaching, is it? No, we're to find a woman, love her, men. Be faithful to her. What do our vows say, men? Honor and keep her. In sickness and in health, and be faithful to her. As long as we both shall live. And women likewise. You know, in this day, as a result of the pill, women likewise, be faithful to your man. Don't just sleep around, young and old. Find someone and be faithful to him as long as you both shall live. In an interview posted on X, he was killed. He was asked by somebody, how would you want to be remembered? And he answered, I want to be remembered for courage, for my faith. That would be the most important thing. The most important thing in my life is my faith. The courage of our faith, brothers and sisters, what more could we ask for than to have the courage of our faith? That woman, afflicted and bent over, she didn't ask. Do you see there? She didn't ask to be healed that day. Jesus simply saw her and did it. For every one of us, on that day on Calvary, we didn't ask. But Jesus did it. For every one of us bent over and afflicted, Jesus saw us and did it. There on the cross, he took away the curse of death and the affliction of sin. Do you know? That happy day when Jesus washed your sins away. And so we live rejoicing as this woman went on, rejoicing that Jesus touched her. as we come to communion this morning. Ask yourselves. You know, it's been said, and I've said it many times, repeated it. Wesley said, communion can not only be a confirming, we start confirmation today, a confirming sacrament, but it can also be a sacrament of salvation. It can be for some that they confirm in it their faith, already known. For some, it can be the day of salvation when Jesus touched us, laid his hands upon someone here today. And they know he washed their sins away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the covenants you made before Jesus, they all pointed to him. They showed us that we cannot of our own power make ourselves right with you. And so at the right time, as the scripture says, while we were still sinners, Christ came. And he died for us, that we might be reconciled to you. And so we recall how on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, there in the upper room with his disciples, he took the Passover bread. He gave thanks for it. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks for it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." And so it is in remembrance of what you've done for us, O Lord, that we offer ourselves back to you in praise and thanksgiving, leaping for that happy day when we found you who washed our sins away. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. We pray you come to us this morning. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Make these gifts of bread and wine just like the body and blood of Christ for us this morning, so that we might be for the world, have the courage of our faith in the world, so that the world might know that Jesus lives. For it is by Christ, with Christ, and in Christ that all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.